The following presentation is brought to you by the Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to animator, storyboard artist, and raconteur Mark Simon, author of Storyboards, Motion in Art. Stick around. This guy will definitely get today's show moving. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience that is about as animated as we've seen since Raquel Welch was a guest in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. So, I was a guest at MegaCon in Orlando back in, I think, February 2006, and I was given table space to promote my book and panel discussion. I was situated at that table between an independent comic book artist named Keith Knight, creator of Nightseeker, and an animator slash entrepreneur, Mark Simon, of Orlando. Both guys were energetic, they were friendly, and they helped make the hours pass very quickly. And through the magic of Facebook, almost 10 years later, I've been able to follow both their careers, although I don't recall that we ever had another conversation in that time since then. Now, that all changed a few weeks back when I heard from Mark Simon and realized he would be a naturally good guest to have on Mr. Media. No pressure, Mark. But here's why. Simon owns three entertainment-related companies. He's written 10 books on related entertainment subjects. He's worked on more than 3,500 productions. And okay, folks, I didn't count, so I'm taking his word for it. But he does own one of the most prolific storyboard houses in the southern United States. He also produces animation, including his work on the Little Rascals cartoon. And one of his companies helps people to sell their own TV show ideas. So we're going to start the conversation today with his latest book. It's called Storyboards, Motion in Art, which is a massive how-to for anyone with ambitions in the field. And people who've watched the show before, you know we do a lot of these kind of art how-tos with some demonstrations, and we'll definitely cover that today. Mark will be demonstrating some of what he does for you visually. So if you're listening to the MP3, go find the video. Oh, and a message to my friend Keith Knight. Call me. You're next. Mark Simon, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'll tell you, you've got a much better memory than I do. I mean, obviously, I remember meeting you and our conversations, but the fact that Keith was there and where we were, and I couldn't have told you what city we were. Nice job.
No, it was, yeah, it was Orlando. I haven't done a lot of these conventions, and I had my Will Eisner biography out at the time, so I remember it clearly. I'm sure you do these things all the time, so it all kinds of, I'm sure it all runs together, which is cool. But Mark, for the person who loves movies and television but maybe isn't as focused on behind the scenes and production, let's kind of start there. If you would take a few minutes and explain or show us, if you like, what a storyboard actually is.
Yeah, be happy to. The easiest way to explain what a storyboard is it's a comic book or comic strip version of the script before it's shot. It's the visual blueprint of the director's vision that the entire crew uses to be able to work towards that one singular vision. And I've been working on that description for a long time.
Yeah, no, you got that down pretty good. That's kind of the Evelyn Wood version of that. I like that. And the thing I want to clarify is storyboards are used whether you're talking about actual cartoons or comedies or dramas. I mean, they're used across the board. It's not just, you know, you describe it as like a comic book type of thing because it's seen that way. Somebody draws it. Mm-hmm. But it's used in everything, right?
It's used in every type of production, including a lot of things that people wouldn't recognize. So what you might see, this is from my book. So These are storyboard panels. Mm-hmm. They're all in the shape of the framing of TV or a movie screen. And I'm one of the few people that actually works between film, TV, and commercials and videos and everything else. A lot of people tend to specialize in one area or another, especially story artists. You know, there's animation story artists and there's live action story artists, and very seldom do they mix. I'm one of the few that I'm lucky enough to do both because I love both. So like even Little Rascals, which you mentioned in the introduction, I was storyboarding the live action portion of the movie. But I've worked with this director a number of times on a lot of different movies. And then there was an animated sequence, in particular the open, which maybe we'll show a little later. And I actually produced the animation for that as well. So at which point I'm also storyboarding, doing the animatic, which is a video storyboard, and then all the way through the finished animation.
And I'll clarify what I said. Animation, comedy, drama, advertising uses storyboards.
Yeah, it's all that. Laser light shows, a lot of people don't think about. A lot of things that we storyboard are conceptual, things that will never be shot, just trying to get an idea across or to raise funds for a movie. I've done that with a number of movies as well. Sometimes live events, you know, Disney and Universal, we've done a lot of storyboarding for them. You've probably heard of Halloween Horror Nights for Universal. Mm-hmm. Well, we've boarded that a number of times, including the very first one. I remember I was working on the team on the very first Halloween Horror Night, where I would storyboard the experience of the person going through it. So it's a way for everyone to sit down and say, oh, I see where that would be. Or I see what they'd be looking at, or, you know, let's add a trick in here, and then we put notes on it, these kind of special effects. So it's more than just the drawing. We also have a tremendous amount of production notes, so that anything I work out with the producer, the director, the designers are generally going to be important for everyone else to know. So if, let's say, we're doing for anyone who watches any behind the scenes, a green screen effect where we put a solid color behind someone so we can pull them out and put them in front of another background. If I know that a shot needs to be shot that way, that'll be in my notes. So everyone in the crew, all 200, 250 people who get it, everyone understands, oh, okay, so we see exactly what we need in order to set this up. So the DP knows, the effects guys know, the lighting guys know. Everyone knows exactly what needs to happen. So it literally becomes like a blueprint for building a house. These storyboards are the blueprint for how to build these huge productions that we put on.
And then the next question, I think, is probably an obvious one to you. Is it a cost adder or a cost saver?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. The producer who's negotiating my rate thinks it's a cost adder. But if you've got a really good story artist, it's going to save you a huge amount of money. One of the things I like to talk about, and it was a very simple thing, but it saved so much money. If you're familiar with Chuck E. Cheese, and anyone has kids has suffered through the foot-smelling pizza known as Chuck E. Cheese. And so we were doing
apparently they're not a current client.
Well, they haven't been for a while, so
okay.
So here we're doing we're going through the boards, the storyboards on all these different shorts that we're doing, and one of the elements comes up where one of the stunts was Chucky's hair has to come off for some reason. I don't remember what it was. And in the pre-production meeting, the costume person who oversees this walkabout character says, oh, well, his hair doesn't do that, but, you know, maybe we'll go ahead and cut it off. We'll have a couple of different things set up and we can Velcro it back on. Okay, well, that sounds easy enough and we're prepared for it, which is a reason we do the boards. If we hadn't have figured that out with the storyboards, that the production would have been down for 45 to 60 minutes. Well, when you've got a big crew, that's $5,000 to $10,000 an hour. Well, they didn't pay me 10 grand for the entire thing. That one thing alone saved them a huge amount of money, much less all the other elements that helped them move more accurately and quicker through the entire thing.
So let's talk about the process. So
sure.
Let's say it's a commercial or whatever it is, a production company, someone along the lines comes to you and says, okay, we need storyboards for X. And so you'll do the storyboards, you'll lay it out, you'll probably work with that person, whether it's the director or the writer or the producer, and you'll create the storyboards to get it to what they want to do. And then who works next from the storyboard? Would it be the cinematographer, the camera people?
Well, let me just kind of step back a little bit.
Okay.
And take you through just so you kind of understand how it normally does work. Generally, a director will say, I want storyboards. And if the director has worked with a story artist that they know and they trust, they will reach out to them, or they'll tell the production manager to reach out. Otherwise, the production manager will find someone that they know and trust. Hopefully, that's me. And so they give me a call, and then we come in, and I sit down with the director, either Skype, like you and I are doing this call, or face-to-face in a production. At that point, I'll have read the script by the time I get in, so I have an idea of what's going on. And as often as I can, I'll watch something of the director's, whether it's their demo reel of commercials or other movies that they've done, because everyone has a visual style. And because I've worked on so many productions, I can really emulate various styles. So I want to get a feel for how the director works. So then the director and I sit down, and every director is different. So it's up to me to work in his style. So some directors actually do a written shot-by-shot list. Go from a close-up here to a wide shot there, to a two-shot, whatever it is, however he wants it. Some thumbnail their own little sketches. Others like to just talk about it. Others want to watch movies with me, and we'll pull this from something else. It's a variety of different things. Sometimes we play with toys. I always have, let's see if I have any of my toys around. Even my little, these little Lego characters. And the reason I bring this up, I actually storyboarded this X-Men Lego movie that came out on with some of their toys. So whatever I can do to help figure out with the director what his vision is what we'll do. And some will even take pictures, like live action. They'll walk around, take video or photos of locations or people stepping through it. And we'll sit down, and then I'll pull up my software. So this is – I work digitally now. And I carry this around. This is my completely portable. It looks like a tablet, but it's not. It's actually a Windows 8 computer. And what's really cool about this is that I can actually draw right on the screen as I'm working. And then hopefully I can get rid of it.
Nope. So that's Windows. That's not a Wacom.
It is a Wacom.
Oh, okay.
But Wacom this past fall came out with their own tablet. PC. It's a Windows 8 PC, but the full Wacom screen. And then the software that I'm using here is called Storyboard Pro. Now, Toon Boom Software puts this out. I've been working with them for, I don't know, 3-4 years. Hard to remember when I started, since one of the early editions of the software. And 2 years ago, we won an Emmy, a Primetime Engineering Emmy, for this software. And this is the main software used around the world now for storyboarding, and I'm a huge proponent of it. I travel the world training studios and schools on how to make use of this. And so one of the things I'm able to do now that until recently we weren't able to is as I'm working on a project, I actually have a timeline. As you see, I'm scrolling on the bottom, and you can see some elements moving. I can drop audio in, and as I'm drawing, I can move things. So like you saw his hand moving there. It's hard for me to see at this angle. So I just drew the hand on a separate layer there. So I can actually time things out. I can make shots shorter, longer, move things around, complete camera moves, whatever I want, as I'm sketching, and throw in whatever audio we need. So literally the director can see how the finished piece is going to be real time as I'm sketching.
Wow.
And that's called an animatic, a video storyboard. So before it used to take, you know, we would start with sketching on paper, and then make whatever revisions on paper. Then I would scan it into Photoshop. We'd break apart the different elements, bring it into After Effects, move different elements around After Effects, export that out, and then go into either Avid or Premiere and edit the piece together, and then we finally get to hear the audio with it. Any changes, we go back to the beginning and start over. Not very efficient.
Right.
Now, because I'm drawing, editing, audio, timing, everything in the same software, if someone says, can we make that scene shorter? Can we move this one shot? So, for instance, I can literally take, you know, this shot right here. See if we can see that. And I can actually drag it and move it this way and drop it. And I've re-edited it and I can hit play. It's that fast as I'm working. I can change a drawing, hit play. It's made me so much faster. It's made me a better story artist because now I can see how my story is playing out as I'm drawing. So if we're sitting on a shot too long, I'll just add another shot, and I know it as I'm working. As a story artist, I could totally geek out on this. It is so fun to be able to work this way, and I get so much done. And it's just seeing your work come to life as you're working is incredible. And every director absolutely flips over it. All right, so the director and I, we go through, we go back and forth until everything's done. Generally, what I'll do is I'll rough it out, really rough thumbnails, and then he'll go off into all of his meetings. I'll sit and I'll time down. I'll make the artwork finer, adjust all the timings and everything. Then he'll take a look at it. If there's a change, I'll do it. Then if not, then what we do is we send out a PDF of all of that entire sequence to the entire crew. And I'll also have a movie that goes to the key people. Generally, it's going to be the designer, the producer, the DP, and the director, and the production manager. Depending on the shots, other people will need it at different times. So when I first come onto a project, especially for live action, they generally don't have a budget or time for doing the entire movie because it can take a long time to do these. Uh-huh. So generally they have a budget. So I'll come in and say, all right, let's start with the special effects, and then we'll do the stunts, and then we'll do special camera moves, and then whatever else you want from that point. And the reason I do it in that order is because special effects, when you read a script and it says Superman is flying through the air and punches through a wall, what's in your head is probably not at all what the director sees. So that needs to be boarded first to go to the effects houses for them to bid on it and to budget it. And I'll give you a great example of how a sequence can evolve and change from what you read in the script. So I was working on the movie McHale's Navy, based on the old 60s TV series. If you remember the movie, it was a Universal picture.
Tom Arnold, right?
Tom Arnold. Yeah, exactly. Good memory. Yeah. So
you might want to call me Mr. Media. I don't know.
I'm going to call you Mr. Memory. So in the script, when we're breaking down a script, when we break down a script, we break it into eighths of a page. So, you know, just a one little paragraph would be considered an eighth of a page, or four eighths would be half a page. Mm-hmm. It's a way that production management can schedule and kind of figure out how much we're doing in a day. Well, in this case, this one sequence was an eighth of a page. And that eighth of a page said that Vladikov shoots a missile at McHale's hut. And McHale chases Vladikov in the PT, and then Vladikov blows up the PT. Okay. Well, the second unit director and the director working with me decided, well, they want this huge chase scene. It took me 102 drawings to do that eighth of a page. That one little paragraph was 102 drawings because it was huge how much we did on that. All these different explosions. We shot the whole thing in Acapulco, and they're swimming around each other, and shit's blowing up all over the place, and it was crazy how much there was. Well, production management all of a sudden realized, well, wait a minute, this 2 hours that we thought it was going to be from reading the script is now a 3-day shoot with effects guys and matte paintings and all these other things. So without the storyboards, they wouldn't have known how to plan those shots at all. So that's why I always do it in order to board the sequences that mean the most to production or the most people need access to it.
Okay.
Now, everyone will get access to see it because the prop master needs to see what elements the actors are working with. The production designer needs to know how much of the set he needs to design, because if a sequence just takes place in the corner, like in the back corner of my office there, well, he only needs to build that corner. Mm-hmm. But if the camera's spinning around him, now we need to build a four-wall set or be in a location. You know, there's so many different things. Wardrobe needs to know, oh, so this needs to be a tearaway item. Or a practical effects knows that they need the front wheel to fall off of a car. You know, it's all these different things. This is the visual representation that tells the all 200 people in the crew what they need to do.
Hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know if this is an apt analogy or not. You'll have to help me. One of the things I've always thought, you know, when I think of, like I was just reading Pete Townsend's biography or autobiography,
that's a good one. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. For The Who. And so he wrote most of the songs, certainly most of the hit songs for The Who. And I always thought, well, how does that work? I mean, he sits in his lonely writer's warren, and he comes up with the words and the melody, and then but so it works in his head, and he'll do like a simple recording of it, and he's got to take it to John Entwistle at the time, you know, as the bass player, or Keith Moon going way back for the drums. And he'd say, okay, this is the song. You need to figure out the drum part. You need to figure out – it's kind of the same thing you're talking about as a storyboard artist, I think, because you're giving them the essence of what they need. And from that, each person in the process has to figure out their end of it. Is that an overstatement?
Yeah, there is a lot to that. But the biggest thing we always have to remember is that we're all trying to get inside the director's head, because it's the director's vision that ultimately – is what rules a production. So that's why I have so many different tricks on getting into the director's head. And because every director is different, you know, one thing doesn't suit everyone. I mean, some are very practical, where they'll look at a plot plan, like an actual blueprint of a location, and they'll draw on there, okay, we have a camera here, camera one here, camera two is here, this camera is going to move forward, and they'll actually draw out the plan of it. Okay, well, I can read plans, so that makes sense to me. Some don't. Some, let's see, you know, we'll actually play like with my little Hot Wheel. I always bring vehicles with me. I was just doing a series of Wawa spots. If you're familiar with Wawa,
I wrote the book for Wawa.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. All
right, and well, by the way, I have a blue version of that car sitting in a little basket behind my on the headboard of my bed.
This is my first vehicle, 63 T-Bird. So. There are times that we'll draw out a map. Like I was doing a movie with Brian Hickox up in Jacksonville, and it was called The Miami School Bus Hijacking. Hmm. So the director, Preston Whitmore III, can't mistake him for the second. That would be insane. There's a lot of car chases with a school bus. So we had a map of where they were doing the location. So I would draw these maps on really large sheets of paper on a table. And then we had a bunch of cop cars I brought in and you know, the Hot Wheels of school bus, everything. And we would literally play. And what I found was that there is no possible way to play with Hot Wheels without making car sounds. So here's the director and I. We're on our knees, right, down on this table, and we're playing with these cars, right, and we're crashing them, and we're making all these things, and we're trying to figure out how these different things are happening. And the producer, and Brian is a real hard ass. So Brian would walk in, and he would just stand there and cross his arms and look down at us for a while, and we'd stare, we'd look up at him, and he'd go, "Am I paying you guys to play?" We go, "Yeah, you are." And he go, "Okay." And he turn and he walk out. Look, work doesn't have to be work. Right. This is a lot of fun, what I get to do. I mean, I get to figure out creative stuff with directors. And some directors will just say, "Look, this is the kind of feel I want it to be, like a John Woo project. You take it and run." Mm-hmm. And then I get to do all the breakdowns, which is just awesome. In fact, I was working, if you remember Sequest from way, way back when.
Of course.
When that was shooting here in Orlando, I was a story artist and I did all the concept art on it.
Also shot here in St. Petersburg, I'd just like to point out.
That's right, on the big pier there, among other things.
And,
yep,
and I spent a lot of time there. The headquarters for Sequest was the old Florida Power corporate headquarters.
Yep. Yeah, so I spent a lot of time there on it. So it was a lot of fun. And I totally forgot this.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Ah, you blew my mind.
Sequest.
Oh, yeah. So working on Sequest, there's one episode that about giant robots fighting. And so the director just gave me some ideas. There was a lot of problems going on with that production because that was in the early days of CG and Amblin Imaging. I was the interface for them. They were all still out in LA while we were shooting here. And so we were sending info back and forth. They were doing the design. So the director was really off doing a lot of other things. And he said, "Look, I want it to be like a Sergio Leone spaghetti Western with a standoff between these." I was like, "Oh, dude, I totally get it. I understand." cutting closer, 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 right? You know, building this tension of these giant robots. And we were shooting this over at this sequence was going to be at the Frank Lloyd Wright Florida Southern College, right?
Oh,
right,
nice.
In between you and I.
Yep.
So I do the boards. Director loves them. We all go out on location because I often go out on location as well. And the director said, "Look, we got two camera crews here. We're running behind. I'm going to take crew A. You know your sequence better than I do. You take crew B, you direct that sequence. So that was actually my first bit of doing second unit direction on a Spielberg project. So this other director, and it wasn't Spielberg directing, it was someone else.
Right.
And so he just sent me off with the crew, so I directed the whole robot sequence. So, you know, things like that happen. Oh, my God, that is so much fun. It's awesome.
Now, let me come back to the storyboard, the drawing part of this. I'm wondering, does someone have to be a gifted artist to be able to do storyboards? Because I noticed in your book, there's examples of very detailed storyboards, and then there's examples of ones that are fairly rough looking, just to set the scene more than anything. So does it matter? Do you have to have that kind of artistic talent to do storyboards, or do you just have to have an understanding of cinema?
If you're doing boards, like for your own project, it doesn't really matter how well you can draw. If you want to do it professionally and get paid for it, yeah, you've got to be a really good artist. You have to be able to draw anything very quickly. Now, as you said, some are very rough because we don't have a lot of time. I mean, there are times I'm doing 80 to 100 drawings in a day. They're not going to be Michelangelo's, but what they will be is great story. I know how to break down. I know every shot, every angle tells a story, and I know when we need to cut in close. I know when we need to have a high angle. I know when we need to bring in between people, when I need to move the camera and when not to. That's all part of, because that's why we call it storyboards and not illustration. Mm-hmm. You know, we're telling a visual story. But if you've got to draw really quickly, if you're not capable of drawing something really well, your sketches won't be recognizable. Mm. So, you know, my rough sketches, you still know what's happening. They're just not going to have a lot of details because I do know how to draw. I love it when I have time to really, you know, detail the more. That doesn't happen in productions. It does on commercials at times. But then again, like these Wawa commercials, I only had a day and a half to storyboard 6 commercials. And that included a half day on location, scouting location and figuring out with the director what we needed. So, you know, time gets to be of the essence.
And so what – now you showed us your Wacom, the Windows 8 tablet.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other tools of the trade, both, you know, electronic and digital and maybe, you know, even analog?
Well, analog is still paper. Sometimes we're working out some shots. We'll work on paper. There's still some of the old guys that don't want to draw digitally. They prefer paper. Mm-hmm. It's just very difficult to do that these days because a lot of work we do is international or long distance. So Skype is very, very important now, just like you and I are doing this. I was working on the movie. It was a horror film that came out last fall called You're Next. And I never met anyone on production face to face. We did the entire thing Skype. It was a low budget production and they couldn't afford to fly me out there. Hmm. So, you know, so Skype is very important. If you're working on paper, you've got to have a scanner. Photoshop, we do a lot of work in still for high detail color boards because of all the effects you can do in Photoshop. We'll draw there. Storyboard Pro, like I said, the software I briefly showed you, that's a hugely important element. Other than that, any type of Wacom Cintiq, which is the monitor you can draw on the surface of, mm-hmm. Is important. Other than that, just understanding production. You know, I do a lot of studying on editing. So these days, as a story artist, you really do need to understand cameras because a director will call for certain lens for certain shots. Well, what does that mean to the shot? Well, we need to understand that. There's a difference between dollying and tracking and pushing and zooming in. You've got to understand those elements. Editing, if you're getting into doing animatics like more and more of us are, you need to understand editing, timing, how you can cut something together where it makes more sense, where there's a different way to pace drama than there is comedy versus sci-fi. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all those things that we look into. So, you know, I like to have my editing software with me, which I do on my Cintiq, you know, like Premiere, which is what we edit in. You know, when you get down to the basics, pencil and paper is really all you need. Mm-hmm. But you can go a lot more than that. You know, I've got all the bells and whistles. Toys are very helpful. Action figures. Sorry, not dolls.
Like action figures.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it was funny. I don't have it with me in my office, I don't think. No, I think it's in, you know, I've got a few offices here. I think it's my other one. Like on Sequest, it was a very squid-looking submarine that was very difficult to draw. Mm-hmm. But they had come out with a model of it. So I built the model, and I used that to be able to draw from.
Okay. So, Mark, you've got we had a little break there. You actually went and got one of your Sequest toys to show everybody, right?
I did. So, like I mentioned, the Sequest ship was very difficult to draw. This is the squid-looking ship. So luckily, when I was working on the second season, a model came out. This model is 18 inches long, came out. So to be able to draw this accurately and quickly, having this kind of reference is fantastic. So, you know, I would do these extreme angles of it coming over and, you know the old Star Wars image.
Right.
So I would sit here and be able to look at it. And there's a trick. There's a great trick of the trade. Of taking something really large, because this was a 1,600-foot-long ship. Hmm. Well, obviously, this is 18 inches. It's not going to look – if I look at it here, it's not going to have the same depth. So what I would do is I would take a door viewer. You know, like you look through in your front door that you can see everything so no one can hide to murder you later when you open it. If you look through a door viewer at a model like this, all of a sudden, this looks like it's gigantic in the real size. I do the same thing with cars, airplanes, or whatever. It changes the perspective of how you see it and makes it look more realistic. So it's a great little trick. It costs $2.50 at Home Depot. It's the best thing in the world to carry in your kit.
Cool. Well, so one of the things I'm thinking about is that if I'm an artist, like in college, and mm-hmm. thinking about careers, what can I do with this art skill that I have? This would seem to be maybe you want to encourage people, maybe you want to discourage people. I don't know. You did write a book, so I'm thinking you want to encourage people. This is another option for the art student or the person who has art talent, and you know the world is changing. If you worked as an artist at a newspaper or magazine, a lot of those doors are closing, but media just seems to grow and grow.
Oh yeah, especially when I started the industry, we had like 6 channels. And plus HBO, you know, now we've got over 600 networks in the U.S. alone. Mm-hmm. So there's more content than ever going on. There's more animation being produced because with animation, you have to storyboard everything from beginning to end. Live action, you only do what they can afford. So there's more room for board artists now than ever. And, you know, I live in Orlando. I don't live in L.A. anymore. I did. I got my start there. But, you know, and I make really good living here. Whether it's commercials, TV series, like I said, you know, I generally work on anywhere from 3 to 12 projects a week. So, you know, I'm able to stay very, very busy. And it's fun. See, I started in Hollywood as a production designer and art director, but I wasn't drawing as much. And whereas I love design, I really miss drawing and I love telling stories. So that's when I got into and decided to get into storyboarding. I found an agent in L.A. that would show me what I needed to do, and that's how I got my start. So I highly recommend it to anyone who's into sequential illustration. When I say that, that's like comic books, comic strips, graphic novels, storyboarding, animation. That's all sequential illustration. You tell a story with a sequence of drawings. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of my best story artists are comic book artists. Who make the transition. The biggest difference is there's certain rules in film and TV that you don't have in comic books. So we need to break those bad habits. But other than that, these guys know how to tell a visual story. So it's the easiest transition of anyone. But if you like to draw and you're quick, you can draw anything. You like to tell stories and you like to work in a team environment because it's almost never alone. You know, it's not just your story. You have to get into the director's head and sometimes the producer's head. For me, that's fun because I get something different from every director. And sometimes it's a challenge. And I love a good challenge. But it really boils down to I get paid extremely well to draw every day. Life could be a lot worse.
It could. Well, yeah. Before we wrap up, because I know you do other things, and we've spent a lot of time talking about storyboards, motion, and art, the book, which of course I mentioned is in its 3rd edition. Do you want to just – there it is.
People, thick.
Trust me. Yeah, it's quite the thick book. So do you want to mention just briefly the other things that you do business-wise that you have going on?
Sure. Through my illustration company, through Animatics and Storyboards, we do character design, concept art, Obviously, animatics, anything that's character-based illustration. We don't do logos. That's always a lot of fun. I produce and direct a lot of animation, which obviously flows directly with storyboarding. So that's a lot of fun. In fact, I wish I could show you, but I can't release it yet. We just finished a really high-end music video, animated music video that I co-directed. That really turned out incredible. So hopefully by the end of summer, that'll be out. And a lot of development, show development of my own things, which led into my third company, which you had mentioned, Sell Your TV Concept Now. My wife and I run that together, and basically we help people to sell their ideas for their own TV shows. And that came from our having success on selling a number of our own ideas, and people kept coming to us and asking us, well, how do you do that? What do you bring? How do you meet people? How do you get those meetings with agents or with networks without an agent? How do I get an agent? You know, everyone thinks there's a catch-22, and there isn't if you know how to do it. And look, we screwed up every which way you possibly can trying to figure this out, and just blew tens of thousands of dollars trying to pitch ideas because we did it wrong. Well, then we figured out how to do it right. We started selling shows. So when we kept getting all these people calling us all the time, we thought, you know what? There's a market for people who want exactly what we wanted and what we needed when we got started. So everything on what we put together in Sell TV is what we wish we had when we got started. Hmm. It's how do you put together a show that the networks actually want? What do the deals look like? What do you need to put together? What don't you need to do? How do you land those meetings? What do you say? What to expect? It's all these different things. We have ways of working with everybody, regardless of whether you're one of the top producers in the country, like Doug Stanley, the producer of Deadliest Catch, is one of our clients. He knew how to produce, but he didn't know how to pitch. So we helped him on how to put his projects together. He sold four of his own shows last year. Okay, that's a great success story. To people who've never worked in the industry at all, like Manya Claiborne, had never worked in the industry, came to we do a yearly event called the Hitmaker Summit. A week after our summit, she sold her first show. So, you know, it's and everything in between. Some people have their own production companies. Other people just are writers. Others are just artists. It doesn't matter. If you've got a great idea, and a lot of people have great ideas, but you don't know what to do, what's the next step? What do I need to do? We can get you exactly where you need to be. In fact, that summit, I'll just mention this briefly.
Sure.
It's a 3-day event. We host it here in Orlando. If you want to come by and check it out, since you're so close, be happy to have you over one day. It's August this year. It's August 24th and the 26th at the Rose and Shingle Creek. Hitmakersummit.com is the shortcut to the info on it. It's 3 days of a small group that you need to apply for it. So basically, you just want to make sure that you're a person who's going to be able to take advantage of all the one-on-one work. Mm-hmm. It's not just sit and listen. It's highly interactive, working with us and other experts, like one of the executives from Showtime is going to be there. One of the writers of Phineas from Ferb is going to be there. A guy who wrote with Jim Cameron is going to be there. I mean, we've got a huge amount of people that come in and work one with every single person that's there. It's why we keep it down to a number of people. Everyone gets to work on what your show needs to get ready, and you will walk out knowing how to pitch your show. Very it's cool. Really fun.
All right. Well, folks, listen, you can find Mark Simon's latest book, Storyboards, Motion in Art, as well as many of his other books. There's 10 in all in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. You know how this works? If you're watching us on MrMedia.com, look below the video, either over there or over there. Yes, to the left or right of Mark's crotch, apparently. No, we don't need to draw attention there. Thank you. Thank you very much. You can storyboard that when we're done. You'll see the cover of Storyboards, Motion and Art, and maybe another book cover. You can click on it. It'll take you right to Amazon. You can order it immediately. They can get it to you via drone in 30 minutes or less, or you can get it in a day or two. Good price. Order it there. Let's run through the websites. Where do you want people to find you?
Well, for the books, all my other books are at MarkSimonBooks.com. And I've got a lot of videos there, a lot of how-tos, the things that we're up to. My storyboarding and all the visual design and illustration is at storyboards-east, cellyourtv.com, since we're on the East Coast. And then sellyourtvconceptnow.com. It's a mouthful, but that's what you want to do. You want to sell your TV idea. So sellyourtvconceptnow.com is for my consultancy.
And you're also on Facebook. Are you on Twitter as well?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. You can find me if you look up Pitch TV on Twitter. You'll be able to find us on Facebook. I think it's either Pitch TV or Pitch TV Show. Just look me up. It's easy enough to find me.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
I actually have a couple of them.
of course you do.
Mark Simon Toons is my animation.
Okay.
That's a fun one because that shows – oh, if we've got a minute, I can show one of those comparisons.
Yeah, sure.
Of storyboards.
Yeah, we can do that before
the finish piece. All right, let me pull that up. So what I'm going to show you here is a sample of Mark Simon Toons of a lot of things that we have. So what I've got here is from the Little Rascals movie. Mm-hmm. So the opening credits is one of the things that the animation I produced.
Okay.
So what I'm going to show you here is a comparison of on the top left will be this storyboard and animatic, and the bottom right is the finished animation. I've actually done these for a few things. I'll show you a commercial right after this, a live-action piece. You can kind of compare the two. Now, you'll notice the edits cut exactly the same time. Mm-hmm. That is not an accident, and I did not re-edit anything. The animatics, we time it down to the frame. So, you know, when the director approves what we're doing, everyone knows exactly what the timings are. So we designed this to kind of have a feel, a throwback to the 30s and 40s. Simple animation, but, you know, updated designs, but kind of an older feel to it. So that gives you an idea of an animation animatic. So it gives you an idea of, you know, the process. You can see both the beginning and what the finished product looks like.
That's great. We appreciate that. That's it's very helpful. That's, you know, the advantage of the video is we can actually see it. It now. All right. Well, Mark Simon, good to see you again after all these.
Yeah, it's been great.
You have your ability to entertain or educate. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for joining us in Mr. Media today.
That was fun. That flew by in an instant.
Glad to hear that.
Always good to see you.
All right, same here. Take care.
All right. Bye.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk. And they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
And what you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, these are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot. Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
The Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights. Just a Minute with Joe Ardinger.
Like most people living in California, I am deluding myself that I have the flu. But we all know it's really radiation from Fukushima. Or just the flu.
To hear the rest of this minute, to sample Joe's other minutes, and to subscribe to his newest ones, visit RealmNetwork.com. That's RELMNetwork.com. Just a Minute with Joe Ardinger, another great Realm Network production. Wednesday afternoons, right here on the Realm Network.
The preceding presentation was brought to you by the Realm Network.